the very first thing we're going to do is talk about empathy maps. So first of all, who here has used an empathy map before? A little bit higher? Cool. It's going to be a value add session. So the first thing is, what the heck is an empathy map? That should be a good topic of conversation. And then from there, how you can leverage them to create engaging content on social media. And then lastly, how you can build your own empathy map. So I'm sure you've all heard this before, content is king. That's a big driving factor that we've been talking about through socials, various, as well as other channels. So content is king, I agree, but I also like to say distribution is queen, and she wears the pants in the relationship, because you can have the best content in the world, but if you're not reaching the right people with it, it's not going to do you any good. So we're going to talk about developing content as well as how to distribute it in a way that it lands with your target audience. Seth Godin, I'm sure a lot of you heard of him before, you know, he actually said content marketing is the only marketing left. He said this back in 2008, so kind of a little dramatic, but it's something that we all need to focus on a lot more. One of the biggest challenges I see with digital marketing in general is it's way too transactional, right? So we're saying, well, you like jackets, I sell jackets, buy my jacket, help me to buy it. Like, that's what happens. We don't do any kind of relationship building. And actually having this empathy and understanding our target audience is the best way to do that. So you can have the best product in the world, but this is another one of my favorite quotes. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So let's say I'm Nike, and obviously they make athletic apparel. I could say, hey, buy this jacket, it's 30% off. You're gonna say, eh, I'm good. But if I have another post that says, you know, these are the best ways to exercise when it's raining outside. You know, make sure you wear this kind of socks and you wear moisture-wicking fabric, so on and so forth. I'm going to have this blog or this video on that topic. And then later I can retarget you and say, oh, you know what, that jacket we referenced in that blog, it actually is on sale 30% off. So we proved that we cared first, not just saying that we make jackets. So that's the goal. And that's the process of going through and developing content that's going to provide value for your target audience. So some of you might have seen this before. Raise your hand if you have. One, two hands, cool. This is gonna, again, take us a picture. So this is what we call the honeycomb of value. It's a term that we use for that. And basically what we're saying is, you know you have valuable content if you can touch on a few of these areas. Is it helpful? Is it entertaining? Is it unique? Is it meaningful? That's how you know that you're producing content that's providing value to your target audience as opposed to being self-serving. And this is tough, because obviously, end of the day, you want to sell stuff, or you want people to sign up for your webinar, or you want them to donate to your nonprofit. But if you don't do this storytelling by providing this valuable content, it's not going to happen. So this is going to be a takeaway for everybody today. Do an audit of your social media content and determine what percent actually provides value based on what we're indicating here. And your goal is to have an 80-20 split, 80% value, and then 20%, yeah, sure, sell something. I get it, you have to eventually. But you'll notice that you might be upside down, and you're talking about yourself the whole time. Like, hey, we got this new product. Hey, by the way, we won this award. Hey, by the way, we moved to a new office. No one cares. To be honest, no one cares. I mean, put that on, like, Twitter or LinkedIn, maybe, but, like, on Facebook, Instagram, nobody cares. So think about how many times you're providing value to your target audience as opposed to talking about yourself. And I did this with one of my clients. Has anyone heard of Diva Curl before? A few of you. Okay, so it's kind of obvious who uses it, because it's a shampoo for like women with curly hair. So I see all the curlies raising their hand. and I was working with their CMO, and I said, you know what, your content, you're just talking about how great your product is. And it is great. I totally agree. My daughter actually uses it. She loves it. But I said, you know, you don't have any value-add content. And they made this change to their content where they just focused on value. So a day like today, they would say, these are ways you can style your hair when it's very humid out, right? Top tips for that. And they did that for 2 or 3 months, and they got back to me like, Terry, you know, our engagement's gone through the roof. You know, it's gone up so much more now that we started talking about this value-added content. And I think the challenge that a lot of marketers have, myself included, is, like, when I went to business school, MBA with concentration in marketing, features and benefits, that's what we talked about. That's the message to get out there. Features, benefits. But it's only benefiting us, right? We're saying, yeah, you're a person, but let me tell you how great our product is, how it's going to benefit you, without first saying, look, I understand you. I get why you need this product in the first place. I'm going to partner with you and help you achieve whatever goal you have through using this solution. right? So we want to get away from features, benefits, and start with value and empathy. So back to that empathy map, it's somewhat similar to a buyer persona, which I'm sure you've all made before or seen before. So you can have someone's gender, their age, maybe their income, things like that. But it doesn't get super granular into who they are as a person. Conversely, an empathy map gives you much more insight into what's going on inside of your audience's head. And I know some of these slides might be challenging to see. I will give you my email address if you want to copy the deck. Go for it. But more or less what you're going to do is there's four main quadrants up here, and at the bottom we have two other segments. But we're talking about our target audience. And the first thing is, what do they think and feel? What's going on inside their head? And also, what do they hear? Now, when I say hear, I don't necessarily mean just their environment. It's also who their influencers are, right? So they read books by Tim Ferriss, or they watch like John Oliver, something like that. When we talk about what they see, it's what's in front of their face, but it's also their worldview. What are their perceptions? What do they say and do? Those are their actions. So they like to be an active parent. They go to CrossFit, so on and so forth. The pain and gain that is going to be in regards to your product or service, what's one thing that would make them not want to use your service? And what's one thing that would make them very happy in regards to engaging with your product? I'm going to give you several examples of what these look like when they're completed today so you can get a better idea of what that outcome would be. First one's going to be for City Bike. Does anyone use City Bike? A little bit higher? Cool. Okay, yeah. I have a bike. That's why I don't. But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty cool. And one thing that they're trying to do is get more people like me to use City Bike during their lunch breaks. Because that's the problem. If you're like, look, you know, I take the subway to work and like I have my own bike at home. Why would I use City Bike? So they want to get more people to use City Bikes during their lunch breaks. And they have this specific persona of someone who's in their head. They're saying, this is who we want to engage with. And I'll show you what that empathy map can look like for these individuals. So I'm going to read this off because I know it's kind of going to be small people in the back. What do they hear? They hear coworkers next to them on the phone, and they hear more phones ringing. What do they do? They're checking their calendar to see when their next meeting is. They're also looking at the clock. They're also thinking, you know what, are any of my favorite places nearby? Like, I want to get out of the office and stretch my legs, but I can't go too far because I have my lunch break. What else? They also see coworkers, their friends, heading out to lunch as well. A pain for them would be it's raining, so luckily we're good. So they're not going to want to ride the City Bike if it's raining. A gain for them would be having a great lunch and just stretching their legs to an extent. I think we don't do enough of that during lunch break. I saw this meme. It said, leaving your desk for lunch is like the new vacation, which is far too true. But that's the audience they're trying to reach with this. And their content, they're saying, like, you know, we get it. You know, you only have like an hour or so for lunch, but you can still stretch your legs and go somewhere different for once. Aren't you sick of going to the same deli over and over and over again? And I'm sure you all have that problem, too. Like, when I used to work in the city, I would go to the same deli over and over again, and after a while, they started anticipating my order. And I was like, well, I didn't actually want that today. But I wouldn't bother changing it because I was like, whatever, let me just go ahead. So they're saying, like, just get out, explore. You can still make it there and back and get some exercise real quick if you ride City Bike. So that's what that empathy map looks like for these individuals. Talk about my background a bit more. So in addition to being a digital marketing consultant, I also coach people who are freelancers, consultants, and as well as entrepreneurs on general business development and ways they can get more efficiency out of their day. So let's stick with freelancers for a second, and I'll show you an example of an empathy map for them, as well as how I can apply that towards creating social content. I love how these wrappers for the candy are just like super loud. It's like, do y'all just want to do it at once? We can go ahead if anyone's been waiting. You're good? All right, cool. Let me know if you need a break. All right, so here's an example of what an empathy map for a freelancer could look. Actually, any freelancers in here? Raise your hand. I'll wait. Okay. So for a freelancer, you know what it's like, even if you're not a freelancer. Here's what they're hearing. Your rates are too high. Not cool. They're also hearing, can you get it done by tomorrow? So I don't want to pay you a lot, but hurry up. And then their friends are saying, you need to take a vacation. Like, you're always working. You're always grinding. You got to do something. They're influencers. What they're hearing might be someone like Tim Ferriss. He wrote the 4-Hour Work Week, or Ryan Holiday. He's very stoic, if you read any of his books. What do they think? They think, I cannot go back to wearing a suit, and I hope this proposal gets approved. And they're really glad that they have control over their own destiny. What do? They pitch potential clients. That's part of the job. And they also go on LinkedIn trying to look for new clients, and they're posting so they look like a thought opinion leader. But you know what happens? While they're on LinkedIn, they're also seeing all their friends from college getting promoted. Like, really? Karen got promoted again? Karen? You know, what's going on? And you're out there hustling trying to get new clients. And they see, like, all these teams of people, these business people having lunch together. Like, well, I kind of missed that. You know, like, that was my life back in the day. But they also see, like, opportunity in every experience. Everyone they meet, they could potentially engage with and grow their business. So all this content I can essentially take and put into the content I want to deliver to my audience as well, but I'm going to do so via storytelling, which I think a lot of us need to do a bit more of. This guy, Donald Miller, some of you might have heard of him. He has this really great book called Building a Story Brand. I would strongly consider checking that out because he talks about the need for marketers to do more storytelling. And in your story, what you're doing essentially is you position your prospect or your customer as the hero in a story, and you're just guiding them along the journey, right? Saying, okay, you want to reach this desired outcome. I'm going to help you get there, but you're the hero. I'm like the Yoda. You're the Luke Skywalker. That's the way people like to say it. Hopefully all of you saw Star Wars. But that's the way you want to position it. So they're the star, not the brand, not the product. You're the star. I'm just helping you with this product. And one way you can do that is through the SCQA storytelling framework. This is one of those acronyms where you can't make it a cool name like Squidja or whatever. But let me walk through what this is. You're going to start with the situation. Who is our hero? Who is our target audience, right? So again, for City Bike, it's going to be that person who's too busy to leave during lunch, but we want to encourage them to do so. What's the complication? Well, they'd like to get out away from their desk, but it's like, you know what? It just takes too long. And you know what? They're going to either keep on ordering Seamless or just keep on walking down to the deli. The question is, you know, what's the possible outcome? How can we get them over this arch where we can actually help them get out of the office? The answer is going to be use City Bike just to run out and get lunch. I'll do it again for these freelancers we were talking about because that hits a lot closer to home for me. Situation, a freelancer looking for better leads. Complication, it's hard out there for a freelancer. True story. And the question is, you know, how can I run my business when I spend too much time chasing leads? Which is a challenge. So you're spending so much time working in your business, you're not working on your business, right? Which is not a good mix to have. The answer is you can write better proposals, first of all, that get approved more often, and create a lead magnet that helps you attract more qualified prospects. Let me stop for a second. What's a lead magnet? Anybody heard that term before? First one for you? Cool, this is awesome. I feel like a superstar today. A lead magnet is essentially something of value you would exchange to your target audience in exchange for their email address or some kind of contact information. So it could be like a white paper, it could be a PDF, it could be some kind of ebook or a webinar. But all of you who are doing lead generation, you need some kind of lead magnet. And by that I mean if you want to get people to sign up on your website to give you their email address, don't just say, sign up to get the latest updates. Because guess what? Nobody cares. They want something now, right? So you want something real and tangible you can give them. Maybe it's some kind of like state of the industry report. We surveyed all these CTOs and we got this information. Or here's the top 10 ways to do something. On my website, my lead magnet is 40 questions to ask a digital marketer or an agency before you hire them. Because as a digital marketer, it's easy to make up stuff. You're like, oh, the algorithm or like all these KPIs and all this stuff. So I'm saying, if they can't answer these questions, run. So that's my lead magnet, saying, here, I'm going to empower you to make better decisions before you hire somebody. But think about that. And one thing I like to say is questions become content. So think about the common questions your audience is asking you or that they have. That can be your lead magnet. Here's the answers. Will you exchange your email address for that? Yeah, because those are the questions I have. So questions become content. Keep that in mind. So in my case, what am I going to do? I'm going to have this video that's promoting just like my top 5 tips for writing winning proposals. That picture could have been better. I look very apathetic. Anyways, I'm going to say, hey, watch my top 5 tips for writing winning proposals. I'm going to have this on social media. And people are going to say, wow, value. I'd love to have that. Thank you for these top tips because I want to win more of these deals that I'm pursuing. Now, one thing I'd like to bring up is when you have great content, you can then leverage it through sequential marketing as well. So you're leading with value, but then you can retarget these people with additional content and a bigger ask. So if you're doing an Instagram ad or a Facebook ad, you can do what are called video view custom audiences. And this is very powerful because what you're doing is you can retarget anyone who's watched a video either as an ad or organically on Instagram or Facebook with additional content. And you can actually say how much of the video did they watch? 50%, 75%, 95%. I recommend only retargeting someone who's watched 75% of the video because we know they cared. But now we can do sequential marketing. You can continue telling the story that you started originally. And I want to remind everybody, you don't have to set up any pixels or any other tracking on your website to make this happen. If you're running videos on your web on Facebook, whether it's paid or organic, you already have an audience of people you can retarget. And you can say exactly what video they watched, right? So you can know specifically what they had an interest in. I've been doing that a lot more often as opposed to doing website retargeting these days because some people just don't want to click off of social. That's how it goes. So I don't want to harp on this too much, but if you don't have video assets, you're automatically at a disadvantage when it comes to social advertising or any kind of storytelling because we're talking to a passive audience, right? If you can just tell a story through a video, they're like, okay, cool, I can watch this, but I'm not going to read your 40-page blog about stuff or whatever. So if you don't have videos right now, just roadmap for it eventually because you will need that. So I'm going to retarget anyone who watches this video with another ad saying, hey, by the way, learn how to create lead magnets that are going to attract the right clients. I'm going to start off by talking about their pain, too. Are you sick of getting clients who, you know, don't want to pay your rate, but they want everything done by tomorrow? Sound familiar, right? I lifted that directly from the empathy map. Attend my workshop to learn how you can create opt-in content that will attract people who value you as a business partner, not just a vendor, right? So I'm just reiterating what I know about them and baking this into my content, and they're going to say, you know what, this person actually gets me. So yes, I will submit my email address to sign up for this webinar. And this is almost very meta because the lead magnet webinar is actually a lead magnet. But again, if you're providing enough value, people will go for it. But it literally is a lead magnet. So the process here is as follows, right? Starting off with ad one, our target audience might be freelancers, consultants. But after that, we switch over to our custom audience based on our own first-party data of people who have watched this video. That's going to be ad two. So that's the sequential marketing we're doing. For you, maybe it's like 3 ads, maybe it's 4. So like nonprofits, they often have to do several stages because nonprofits, one of the biggest challenges they have is trust, right? People are like, why should I give you my money? Because I keep on reading these stories about CEOs driving Ferraris and all this stuff. So to build up that trust, you're doing so much storytelling about the impact you've had on the community, so on and so forth, and then eventually maybe asking for some kind of donation. Your goal is always to make this as short as possible because there's money involved, obviously, right? That's the goal. Another thing you can do, and I love doing this on Instagram, on Facebook as well as LinkedIn, are lead ads. Lead ads are awesome. Next slide. that's it. So lead ads are awesome because of this. I can retarget someone who watched that initial video and say, hey, by the way, you know, I have this webinar coming up. Do you want to sign up for it? If they hit submit, it's going to automatically scrape their name and their email address off of their Facebook profile. They then hit submit, and I have access to that, which I can integrate with my CRM, such as MailChimp or Salesforce, or just download it as a CSV as well. Now, the reason why these work so well is they're more of a friction-free way of capturing contact information, meaning people don't have to click through your website and then enter their information and then submit. Like I said before, some people just don't want to click off of Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or other platforms. So this is another way for you to capture that information without putting them through extra steps to do so. So these are pretty cool. And you would do an A/B test One approach for the ad, you have them go to your website to sign up. Another approach, you try this form, see which one's working better, see which one gives you a lower cost per lead. And again, you can do this on LinkedIn as well, so if you're more B2B, check that out. Let's go through another example. This is a website called IDK Tonight, so I don't know. And basically, what they do is they curate date night ideas for couples in New York City. Because I know all of us fall victim to that, right? It's like you start dating or you get married and you're just like, all right, well, what do you want to order on Seamless? That's pretty much all it is. Like, so yeah, their goal here is to curate really fun date nights for couples in the New York City area. Take a look at their empathy map. What do they hear? We need to get out more. I'm a victim to that. Like, I live in Brooklyn, near the Brooklyn Museum, and for any of you who know that area, there's this area on Franklin Ave where there's like 20 or 30 restaurants. So I'm like, we can just walk there, right? So we don't actually leave our neighborhood when we go out. But yeah, we need to get out more. And then your partner's saying, hey, do you want to do something Friday night? But then you're also hearing, hey, can you work late Friday night? Because you have a career. And they read the 5 love languages. Anybody read that? And my sister-in-law gave me a copy, but I was like, all right, cool. I haven't read it. But to the point, actually, I never think about why she did that. So anyways, what do they think? They think sometimes it feels like we're roommates, not partners, right? And that can happen. They think, when are we going to buy a house? And I'm glad I have someone who understands me. What do they say and do? Want to order Seamless? Yeah, I mean, guilty as charged. And they work, right? They're saying, this is not just a job. I'm building my career. What do? They go to CrossFit or they go to yoga, depending on their mood. What do they see? They see every couple on Instagram look so happy, right? That's kind of how it goes. But they also know some of their friends are getting divorced already. So it's like, you didn't post those pictures. and they see like a new restaurant that opened that they want to maybe go to, right? So here's the empathy map that I have for them, but how's that translate into social content? I'll show you. So we're saying, don't play another round of, I don't know, what do you want to do? Let us plan the perfect date night for you and your partner. And the date is actually this candle making workshop where you make candles and have wine. So it sounds pretty cool. But it's a unique date that you can do that's not going to be like the regular, saying, not going bowling again, we're not going to our favorite restaurant, so on and so forth. All right, but I'm baking everything I heard before into this, into my content for social media. And like I said before, you also want to have video content. So this is more or less a script for a video. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But just basically saying, hey, remember before, like when going out on a Tuesday night didn't sound like a horrible Wednesday morning about to happen? You know, let us plan like a really cool date night for you instead of going back and forth with this, I don't know, what do you want to do, blah, blah, blah. Like, we know you're super busy. You're working on your career. We get it. So when you do go out, you want to make sure you have a good time. We're going to plan the perfect date for night for you. Come to IDK. So again, I'm saying, you're busy as it is. We get it. I know that because you're working on your career and you also have other interests such as CrossFit or yoga. So that's why we want to take the guesswork out of what you should do. And I've been victim to that before. Like, my wife and I, we don't go out as much as we should because, again, I got 2 kids. But you ever do that? You go out, you finally go out, and it's like the restaurant is horrible, the service is horrible, and you're like, come on, man, really? Like, I've gone out once this quarter, and it was this. So we're thinking about that. We understand, you know, we want to make sure you have a good time when you finally do go out, right? We feel your pain, and we're talking about that. Another thing you can do, this is, again, more engaging social content, is just creating a quiz. People love quizzes, right? How well do you really know your partner? So this hopefully does not end in a fight, but what we can do is, you know, have this quiz, but then you have to submit your email address in order to get the results. Lead generation, right? And with that, if you're sitting down with your partner, you're like, yeah, sure, put your email in. I just want to see what we got, right? Because they're already vested. You spent that much time doing it. And one thing I like to point out is, and you probably noticed already, but often one of my goals on social media is to get you off of social media. Because we have 3 different types of channels. There's paid, owned, and earned. I'm sure you've heard that before. Paid is anytime you put a dollar behind something. It's a Google ad, it's a Facebook ad, it's a Twitter ad, it's a banner ad, whatever. Earned is amplified through influencers and shares and SEO to an extent. And then owned is your own channel. So it's your website, it's your email list, it's your app, it's your chatbot. And you want to focus on getting people on your own channels, because otherwise you're going to be the victim of your paying, or an algorithm which might change his mind at any moment. So if you're using social, don't plan on it being steady and you know non-volatile, because it definitely is going to be. So I want to get you off of social as easily as quickly as possible onto an earned channel such as email. So I want to get that's my goal often. All right. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about how you can build an empathy map. All right, because I didn't just make all this stuff up. Fortunately, there is a process. The first thing, sure, if you have the money and resource, do a survey or a focus group. Because what you don't want to do is be a victim of groupthink. When you and your team sit down, you think you know who the perfect audience is. You're like, oh yeah, we got it. You know, all four of us can understand what these 3 million people care about, even though we don't walk in their shoes. So you do want to have real data whenever possible. So one way to do that is through a focus group or surveys. The challenge, and I do want to bring this up, the challenge you might have with like a focus group is somewhat what we call like survey bias, meaning who has time to come in Tuesday between 2 and 4 and talk about lunch or whatever, even if you are rewarding them. So is that someone who really represents your audience? That's beneficial. Also, just listening to your sales or your customer support team, what pushback are they hearing or what use cases are they hearing? So they're calling and saying, you know what, the reason why I use this HR software is because we have trouble paying city tax, state tax, and federal tax, and we keep on messing it up, and our audience is really upset about that. Our coworkers are really upset about that. You then put that into your content. Hey, by the way, HR managers in New York, yes, we can factor in city tax into our software. You don't have to worry about some kind of secondary solution. Just that one pain point you've heard, that turns into content as well. So your sales team, your customer service team, they're going to be a great way for you to get more content for that. Going to in-person events, just being a fly on the wall. And the example I like to give is this. I was at South by Southwest this year doing a brief presentation, and I stuck around for a while because I wanted to hear more from VCs and their thoughts on what companies they invest in, because I'm a mentor for Techstars as well as NYU's Entrepreneurial Incubator. So I'm like, okay, what can I hear from these people to put into their pitches? And one thing I heard from this VC is, I always make sure that these businesses I invest in, that they have a friends and family round, that they did a friends and family round, meaning they raised money privately before coming to someone like me. So, because you know what? They'll walk away from a suit from Stanford, but they won't walk away from their grandma. So I know they're going to have more skin in their game if they did a friends and family round. So I heard that, and now when I'm working with my clients and that I'm mentoring on their pitches, I'm like, if you did a friends and family round, mention it, because they're looking for this stuff, right? So these are little things that I'm listening with intent. That's the desired outcome. Listening with intent and saying, okay, how can I use this information to fill out that empathy map a bit more? Social listening, which we're getting into shortly, this is often one of the cheapest, because it's free, and easiest ways to do that. And it's funny when people are saying, you know, what should we write about? You know, what should we talk about? I'm like, I don't know, listen. Like, just listen to your target audience. What are they talking about? Then you can have a POV on it or answer their questions, and that then becomes your content. But you shouldn't be sitting around for 10 hours saying, what should we write about? Spend 9 hours doing social listening, spend 1 hour writing content that answers common questions, you're good to go. We have that so backwards sometimes. I'm like, what should we write about? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Let's go to lunch. Okay, cool. We're back. What do you think? I don't know. Like, so it's like just stop and just listen and then create. And one way I've been doing this lately is by doing Instagram polls with open-ended questions. So you're going to do like an Ask Me Anything, right? So you're doing an Instagram story, and let's say you're some kind of influencer or some kind of business owner or some kind of brand. You're just saying, hey, you know, ask me questions. We're going to just ask you random questions like, hey, you know, I heard this regulation just changed where, you know, if I have 2 kids, I get this much of a tax write-off. But, you know, if I also have a dog, I get this as well. Like, I mean, you know, I'm making that up, obviously. But, like, you're taking in all this qualitative data and then saying, what questions am I getting? Wow, these questions now become content. All right. So for me, I'm really excited about using these because it's an engaging and fun way to poll your target audience without giving them, like, a SurveyMonkey poll. Right. You're saying, hey, we want to know what's going on. You know, we want to know what your questions are. Or we're doing a webinar next week. What would you like to learn most about? You know, what I'm really confused about is this, right? So, yeah, I think this is something that we don't leverage enough, and it's free. So, yeah, sure, you can pay an agency X $1,000 to do it. And, you know, if you have the money, sure, think about it. But all of us still have the ability to do this ourselves right now. It's going to take you 10 minutes to set that up. All right, so let's walk through the process of doing social listening to build this empathy map. And I'm going to use Squarespace as an example. So does anyone here use a Squarespace website? Perfect. Does anyone here work at Squarespace? Sweet, okay. So you'll find out why in a second. So I was excited to find out that Squarespace now has email marketing campaigns, which for me was huge because my my website is actually built on Squarespace as well. And as an entrepreneur, as a freelancer, the less logins, the better. The less platforms you're using, the better, because you have enough stuff to do, right? So I'm like, wow, you know, maybe I can use Squarespace's email as opposed to MailChimp, because that way, less logins, tighter integration, I'm on my merry way. So I was really excited to learn more about this. And I noticed this woman, Dee Dee, was as well. So Dee Dee said, can you create automated and drip campaigns with Squarespace email? So a drip campaign means someone comes into your CRM, or they, you know, you get to their email address and you send them a sequence of emails based on their action or inaction, right? So you're automating this whole process. Dee Dee wants to know if you can do that because that's her desired outcome. I can start building an empathy map just from that one question. What does she hear? Work smarter, not harder, right? Find these processes to improve your efficiency. What does she think and feel? I cannot keep on trading time for money, right? Like if I'm spending so much time like manually doing these emails, like I'm never gonna, you know, hit my revenue goal. What does she do? Automate as much as possible, right? Any entrepreneur, that's what they're gonna tell you, like automate as much as possible so long as you're not becoming impersonal with it. And once you see, well, there's a bunch of new apps out there that help you with process improvement, right? So again, just from that one line and knowing who she is, this entrepreneur, I can start building out my empathy map. Another great source of doing social listening is gonna be Reddit. Again, this is free. So you can go to certain tribes, people that are entrepreneurs, people that are into knitting, people that are maybe fathers or whatever, and you can just go there and read the posts that they're putting in these groups. So right now I'm in an entrepreneur thread, and the very top thread up here says, if you're not using automation, you're wasting your time and money. Pretty bold statement in favor of automation, right? But if you look, there's 640 upvotes on this. So that's 640 people saying this is good content, and there's actually 232 comments on here as well. So there's so much, again, qualitative information we can mine just from this one post that's gonna help us build out this empathy map. So these are free things, right? We don't need thousands of dollars to pay for these expensive programs. We're just gonna go on Reddit, camp out for X hours, go through these comments and say, what are some other common things we're understanding about our audience? So again, listening with intent helps you better understand your audience's needs and pain points, which is awesome because you can write about it. But I also want to point out something with Squarespace. Their response was, no, we don't do that, which is obviously disappointing, right? Because again, as a freelancer, as an entrepreneur, like you're busy and you want to make these things as automated as possible. So like, no, but that's going to be a great feature request for future consideration. That's also code for buzz off, right? Just so you all know. I used to work at Adobe on the product team, and whenever someone brings up something, I'm like, oh, that's a good feature request. Here's this email. I'm like, eh, whatever, just get off the phone. Like, that's really what they're saying. And while that's really unfortunate, because if they had taken the time to understand that these freelancers want that capability, the same one that's in MailChimp, by the way, the one you're trying to replace, they maybe would have delayed releasing of their product until they had that built in, just by doing some social listening. So the benefit of this is we're not just creating great content, we're also creating great products, great services that better serve our target audience, all through social listening. So you also want to iterate and improve. So as you get more data coming in or any kind of changes in the marketplace, do make changes. This should not be a static document. The same way your persona shouldn't be static either. I've worked with clients and I'm looking at their personas that they commissioned. They're like 4 years old. I'm like, things have changed. You know, like that's not accurate anymore. So do revisit this at least once a year, I would say. More often if as possible, but as you get more data coming in, you do want to make some changes. So key takeaways with content marketing, it's very unselfish. And I know that's hard because you're saying, we gotta sell stuff. I'm like, yeah, we'll get there eventually, but we have to also engage with people first. So focus on providing value, going back to that honeycomb that we talked about before, not just getting a sale. And just listen to your audience. Like, that's where you're going to get all these great insights. You don't have to, you know, wonder. Just listen with intent, and then from there you go ahead and be able to produce that great content. So again, if you want a copy of the deck, let me know, because I have some other guides in here that you can also leverage for building this out. But yeah, that's what I want to talk about. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Terry. So we have a little over 5 minutes for some questions before a quick break. So what kind of questions do we have for Terry? Whoa, slow down. Just kidding.
Hi, my name's Julie. I'm from Pennsylvania. I work for Bell & Evans, digital marketing manager. You had mentioned quizzes. What app or service do you use to create quizzes?
I have clients that have built them internally. So I know there are several platforms you can use to have them like host on your site as like an iframe. And there's going to be different tiers based on whether or not they have their branding on them or not. To give you a range, you can expect to pay about $40 a month for one if they are maintaining it. Outpost is one, I believe, but there's several players on the market. It's not super expensive, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Question for you. When you're building the empathy maps in a B2B environment, do you focus on the person's personal interests, their business interests, or both?
Both, and let me give you a good example. One of my buddies, he's a consultant, and he helps maintenance engineers increase their uptime. So he points out the fact that what they do is sometimes they have their family go on vacation without them because they're afraid something's going to break when they're gone, which is sad, but it's also true. So you're saying, look, you know, we get you have a life outside of work. We want to make it better. We want to make it more fulfilling. So you're actually tying in both.
Other questions? Julie, right? I'm going to remember everyone's name by the end of this.
Hi, Terry. I wanted to know, how do you separate your time between generating leads, social listening, and actually servicing your clients?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm in a good position where I don't have to work too hard to get leads just because I teach a lot. I teach at NYU and I teach at General Assembly. So people hear me talk, they're like, I guess he knows what he's talking about, and that's how I get leads. So I do spend more time helping my clients develop content that's going to get them leads. And I say it makes more sense often for you to just shut down for a week and build out really great blog content or make some awesome videos. And then over time, you're going to see all these leads start trickling in. So there's a compound effect you want to be aware of. It's not going to be immediate. But I think it does make sense to shut down and work on your business instead of in your business. And it's building up those lead magnets. Like I do have a lead magnet on my website. That took me, I would say, a full day to create. But I also noticed my conversion rate for email addresses has gone up by about 40% since I put that lead magnet on there. So it was worth my half a day or my day of creating that content to do so. So hopefully that answers your question to an extent.
I'm in a good
position in regards to leads. But take the time to shut down, build that content up, and then reap the rewards slowly over time.